Where is God's house? There was a period of silence, and finally one boy raised his hand. The teacher responded and said, "Where?" To which the little fellow answered, "In the bathroom at my house." Now the teacher was somewhat shocked by the answer, so followed up, "Why do you say that?" The little boy said, "Because every morning Dad goes and bangs on the bathroom door and says, 'My Lord, are you still in there?'" Today we come to this July 4th celebration, this holiday. The text for the message today is drawn from the words of a song that everyone knows the first verse of, because it's the Star Spangled Banner. And it says in it, "From the dawn's early light," and then there's the phrase, "to the twilight's last gleaming." Today, in churches across the land or across this nation, we will mark Independence Day. But sadly, and it has been my experience in some that I have been in, that in many of those churches, it will seem more like a patriotic rally or a political rally than a Christian church service. I actually went to one church some time ago and couldn't believe it when I went in. It was completely decorated out, red, white, and blue. Streamers. Every pew had red, white, blue bows hanging on the ends of the seats. A little overdone for me. I can understand partly, though, why, I think. Because we seem to be living in a time of holiday confusion, when no one truly knows and remembers what we're celebrating on any particular day. I was listening to news commentators back some weeks ago when Memorial Day weekend came around, when we celebrate those who gave their lives for what we have. And if I listened to the commentators, I would never have known that. I would have thought it was Veterans Day. I found myself even yesterday yelling at a commentator on one of the news channels, saying, "No!" Talking about veterans. Yes, veterans are important and they sacrifice, but that's not the significance of July the 4th. July the 4th is a celebration of the independence, of the birth of this country. That we no longer answered to a king in a faraway land. We gained freedoms that had not been known before, that had only been a dream and had been hoped for. Hard-earned freedoms. Now, don't misunderstand. I think patriotism has its place. But there is also an inherent danger in it. The patriotism in Germany with World War I and with World War II. Encouraged theologians. The church folks, the religious leaders, to help draft the declarations of war. You may not have known that. And there's a danger it could happen in this country as well. Because we seem to be confused about allegiance. I grew up, and in fact I was looking around. Well, I see one, I don't see the other. Maybe it's blocked by the banner, maybe not. I grew up and came up at a time in ministry when we went through the flag wars. You may not know what the flag wars are. Do we have flags in the sanctuary or do we not? If so, which flags and where do they go? One pastor comes along and says, no, we can't have the flags in, takes them all out. Next pastor comes along and says, well, where are the flags? And this tug of war going back and forth. And here's the congregation kind of caught in the middle saying, well, yeah, we really like to have them, but you know, it kind of makes some sense. I notice we have our American flag, the flag of our nation here. What I'm missing, unless I just don't see it.
It's there.
It's hidden behind the banner. Okay, so all I can see is the banner. Good. Then that's my point. You see, we as Christians in America find ourselves holding dual citizenship. And I don't mean America and England or some other country here on the earth. A dual citizenship between the nation we live in here, America, and the other nation, the other kingdom, not of this world, the kingdom of God. Therefore, we find ourselves in allegiance to two flags. The question is, we need to be clear, and the challenge is we need to be clear on where our loyalties lie. In our loyalties to America, we celebrate freedom. But it is temporal and limited. It must always be defended and fought for and sacrificed for. The second, the heavenly kingdom, where the freedoms there are eternal, are unlimited. Fought for, yes. Bought and paid for, yes. Through one person, the person of Christ. This second, this country that we long for. And let me share the scriptures with you for today. This reading, which isn't the first of the two readings, is from Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 13 and 16. I'm going to read to you from Peterson's translation, The Message. He's talking about the saints here. He says of Abraham and those who had gone before, and he says, each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. I was reminded as I was working on this week, and I had recorded an old movie. It was filmed in 1966, nominated for 8 Academy Awards and won 6 of them. Barely got made at all, very low budget. It was taken from a play. I think the author's the play was name was Bolt, called A Man for All Seasons. The story is set in England. Henry VIII is on the throne, and Henry is wanting a divorce from his wife, Catherine, because he has no male heirs. The leader of the church at that time, Cardinal Wolsey, is want to try and accommodate the king. Wolsey is also chancellor. And he consults a young legal mind by the name of Sir Thomas More. More would eventually, at Wolsey's death, be named Chancellor of England. And yet More, in his understanding of the scriptures, said no. So the others of those who were jealous of the position he had managed to trump up charges against him. He was tried for treason in 1535 and was executed, beheaded. His head hung from London Bridge for a month. His daughter finally took it down, buried it. I sat and watched the recording last night, late. And in More's final words before the executioner's axe, he forgave the king, and he proclaimed that he was still a loyal subject and would be to his last breath, but that his first loyalty was to God. And he quoted Psalm 51. Forgave the axeman and prepared himself. More understood what it was to have dual citizenship. I wonder if we do sometimes. We will celebrate Independence Day Tuesday. It's an interesting thing. Will Rogers, writing back in the last century, made these comments after reading what he called the casualty list on July the 5th. Said, one learns that we have killed more people celebrating our independence than we lost fighting for it. And I listened to the local news last night. They were cautioning folks about the fireworks and all of those things. But there will be folks who will be injured, and there will be some who will die because of that. I wonder, in all of our celebrating of the independence of our nation, I would ask you this morning. How do you celebrate your other Independence Day? You see, we have two. Maybe you didn't know that. Well, maybe I should qualify that statement and say, some have two. Some of you might still be waiting, but I don't think so. What is the other Independence Day? It's the day that you came to believe in Christ Jesus. That you accepted Him as Lord and Savior of your life. That you were baptized into His church. What kind of celebrations do you throw for that day? Any? Fireworks? Barbecues? What? No. We celebrate the day we're born into the world, into this world, this temporal world, in this temporal body. And we remember those who have gone on from this life and the day they passed away. But we hardly give any thought to that other Independence Day, our true Independence Day. It was said some time ago, again, goes back to last century. He was the Prime Minister of England, Lloyd George, who talked about his life. He said, "When I was a boy, I thought that heaven was more frightening than the thoughts of hell, because I saw it as this place of perpetual Sundays and perpetual worship services with no breaks. It was a horrible nightmare, and it made me an atheist for 10 years. We could be like St. Augustine when he was struggling with his conversion, who in a prayer it's recorded as saying, "Lord, save me, but not just yet." Or maybe we're like the fellow who knew that in this life he had not lived the kind of life that he should, and he was not sure whether or not when he died he would be let into heaven. But the day came and he arrives at heaven, and he's welcomed with open arms. And in surprise he asks him, "Are you sure you guys haven't made a mistake?" St. Peter responds, says, no, there's no mistake. You see, we don't keep any records. He breathed a sigh of relief and entered the gate. And as he walked along, pretty soon he noticed this group over in one corner who were clenching their fists and stamping their feet and banging their heads against the wall. And he turned to St. Peter and said, "What's the matter with them?" And St. Peter, with a smile, said, "They also thought we kept records." What is it that holds us back? The hymns we sang today are considered national hymns, and yet they're not necessarily national hymns. I had thought about asking you to sing the Star-Spangled Banner, or as it's known by the band folks as the Star-Spangled Banana. But anyway, I've tried it in the past, and it was always a losing cause. Because we would specifically tell the congregation, "Now please remain seated for the next hymn." And as soon as the pianist started playing, everyone would always stand up. I'm glad you stand up for all your hymns. Because what you failed, what most folks do not realize is that, yes, the Star-Spangled Banner in its opening verse sings about a flag that flew over Fort McHenry in the War of 1812. Actually, the date was 1814. A fellow by the name of Francis Scott Key was working with a prisoner exchange with the British. The battle was raging, and he wrote this poem. But what most people fail to realize is that this poem actually became a hymn. And interestingly enough, it shares a pattern that is also found in Amazing Grace, that beloved hymn that we sing. You know what it is? Neither one of them mentions God until the fourth verse. So here is the fourth verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. "Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave." Praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. That power is God Himself. And that's the hymn part of it. When we sing to God. Here the other scripture that is our reading today from the Gospel of Luke. It's the story in chapter 24 about the journey of the two fellows on the road to Emmaus. But it covers everything that I want to touch on and what remains. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" From the twilight's last gleaming to the dawn's early light. Key notice that the flag was still there, but to we who believe in Christ, it says even more, those same words. In the twilight's last gleaming, there was a man in the beginning of John's gospel who was born again. In the twilight's last gleaming, the feet of Jesus were washed with tears. In the twilight's last gleaming, bread was broken. A cup was shared. Prayers were offered. A body was buried and a tomb sealed. And hearts were warmed in our scripture here with broken bread. We as Christians and citizens sing our songs in praise to both our nation and our heavenly kingdom. And the God who provides and sustains us. And by the dawn's early light, On that Christmas morning long ago, you could hear a baby cry from a cattle stall. Those in the boat saw a storm stilled. The women saw a stone rolled away. Mary heard her name spoken in the garden. A tremendous catch of fish and breakfast on the shore being shared. And in this breaking of the new day, there is still a call to us to come and share food. But it's not just in the twilight or the dawn's first light. It's in the midday when a multitude is fed. In the dark part of night when chains fall off and prison doors are opened. Oh yes, and then there's the bombs bursting in air and the rocket's red glare. How could we not find Pentecost in those words? When the Holy Spirit came with the sound of a mighty rushing wind and glowing tongues of fire. We know how to celebrate July the 4th, a wonderful point in time and in our history. But maybe we also should focus on celebrating that other Independence Day. The day our sins were forgiven, the chains of sin broken and taken off from us. It is appropriate today that we come and we celebrate with broken bread. We celebrate with a shared cup, for in it we find our independence truly. We remember that night long ago when Jesus gathered in the upper room with his disciples. He took the bread. Having blessed the bread, he broke the bread, began to give it to his disciples and said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." Likewise, then at the end of the supper, he took the cup. Again, having given thanks to God, he gave the cup to the disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of a new covenant that is shed for you. As often as you do these things, do them in remembrance of me." Lord, on this day, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon this gift of bread and upon this cup, that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, our Independence Day, our freedom from the ruler of this world. We come now as we share this bread and this cup, we give you our thanks and praise that you would make us one in Christ and one in each other as we give ourselves to you and to the world in your service. We pray and offer these thanks and blessing in Christ's name. Amen. I need someone to